This is Eddie Hyatt. Welcome to the Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, and we're continuing our theme this week, talking primarily about the role of human government in the earth today and how we, as Christians, as the church, are to relate to the governing civil authorities. And this has become an issue, especially now. It's been an issue ever since the church came into existence 2,000 years ago, but it became a real issue in America in 2020 with the COVID-19 pandemic, and the government imposed lockdowns, especially when places like abortion clinics and liquor stores were allowed to remain open because government officials said they provide essential services, but churches were told to close because they are non-essential. And when some churches decided to open anyway, they were threatened with fines and jail. And so it's been an eye-opening time, and where Christians have begun to realize they need to rethink and think again. How far do we go as a free people? How far do we go? And how obligated are we to comply with these government mandates and lockdowns and church closures? And so I have just written a book, and it should be available by the end of the week. I hope you'll get it. I'm reading from it in these sessions this week. The title is To Comply or Not to Comply. The subtitle is A Christian Guide to Government Lockdowns, Mandates, Church Closures, and Other Forms of Government Tyranny. So, again, it's available, will be available when it's ready, hopefully by this weekend, on my website, eddiehyatt.com, and also on Amazon, along with many other books that I have. I want to continue today from yesterday. We were talking about yesterday about Jesus and his discussion, answering the gotcha questions that his opponents posed to him. Should we pay taxes to Caesar or not? If you didn't hear yesterday's episode, you know, need to go back and listen to it. I'm not going to go through it again. But Jesus answered their gotcha question. They thought that there was no way he could get around this question. But Jesus answered it in a way that caused them to marvel. And those who were trying to entrap him in this question, they went away dejected and embarrassed because they had failed to do so, because Jesus answered their question in the wisdom of God. And that is when he said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Now, go back and listen to yesterday's episode to get the real meat and understanding of the brilliance of Jesus' answer and why it was so incredible. Now, his answer that he gave that day shows that our ultimate responsibility is to God, to give ourselves to him in whose image we were created. It also reveals that there is not a necessary and fundamental conflict. There's not a fundamental and necessary conflict of this commitment to God with our responsibility to the civil authority. Listen to this now. There is no fundamental conflict because what we have here, God and Caesar, are two fundamentally different kingdoms. Now, Jesus also made this clear when he was arrested and interrogated by the Roman governor Pontius Pilate. And as he was interrogated before Pontius Pilate, because one reason he was brought before them was many people were saying he was the Messiah, and the perception in Israel of that time that when their Messiah came, he would be a militaristic ruler. He would be a political, militaristic genius who would restore the nation of Israel, drive out the Romans, and restore the nation to its glory that it had known under the reign of David and Solomon. And so, when Jesus is standing before Pontius Pilate, he questions him and asks him, are you the king of the Jews? Well, Jesus made it clear that he had no interest in Caesar's crown or Herod's throne. These kingdoms, you see, were of a lower, inferior realm. They were transient and worldly. His kingdom transcended them all. When Pilate directly asked him about being called the King of the Jews, Jesus replied, listen to this, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." The kingdom that Jesus Christ brought into this world is of a fundamentally different character and nature from the political kingdoms of this world. And so because of the fundamental different nature of his kingdom, Jesus needed no army or political party to ascend his throne. He ascended his throne by way of suffering, in a way that human beings would never consider. He ascended his throne by way of suffering and death on a Roman cross. God then raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand. And in scripture, the right hand is the place of authority and power. That's what it symbolizes, authority and power. So when the Bible says that Jesus is at God's right hand, it means he's seated at the pinnacle of the universe in the place of ultimate authority. And Jesus himself said that when he came out of the tomb. He said, "All authority is given to me in heaven and in earth." And then he commissioned his followers before he ascended back to heaven. The Great Commission, he said, "Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you." Now, here's a caution for the church today. Jesus' words and his example serve as an important reminder for the church today. Our goal is not a political one. Jesus did not entrust us with a political plan or strategy for overthrowing Caesar or winning the next election. Yes, we are to have an influence. We are to influence the civil realm and the political realm, but not by taking them over militaristically or politically. What Jesus did entrust us with was a message that has inherent power to change hearts and thereby change families, communities, and nations. God's kingdom starts from the inside and then works its way out. God doesn't start from the outside. He starts from the inside, changing hearts, transforming lives, and then working out from that point. This is what Paul was referring to, this message of power. "I am not ashamed of the gospel," Paul said in Romans 1:16. "For it," talking about the message, "it is the power of God unto salvation." The power of God to bring salvation and deliverance is inherent in the message. That is why we must be so careful that we never compromise the message, that we never change it or modify it or tweak it to try and make it more acceptable, trying to make it cool and acceptable to contemporary culture. No, if we do that, we are in danger of what Paul said, of preaching a gospel that has been emptied of its power. We must guard the message. The message is infused with power to change hearts and lives. We also must guard against becoming identified with a particular political party and its agenda. Remember, there were many religious and political parties in first century Israel. There were the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Essenes, the Herodians, the Zealots, and they all had their different agendas. Jesus never identified with any of those. How could he? Such a move would have reduced his transcendent eternal kingdom to that which is temporal, transient, and worldly. Besides, Jesus had not come to take sides, but to take over as the Lord of the universe. "Jesus is Lord" was the basic confession and message of the early church. It therefore was never a question of whose side he was on, but a question of who was on his side. Abraham Lincoln, President Abraham Lincoln, understood this. And during the Civil War, he was talking to a minister from the North. And this Northern minister expressed his hope to the president that the Lord is on our side. President Lincoln replied, "I am not at all concerned about that, but it is my constant anxiety and prayer that I and this nation should be on the Lord's side. And yes, it is the same today. Our commission as God's people, as the church, our commission is not to assure any politician or political party that God is on their side, but to challenge them all with the question, are you on God's side?" Wow. Oh, are you on the Lord's side? My friends, we're talking today about the role of the church with a civil government. To sum it up, the church is to be just like the Old Testament prophets. God raised them up to speak truth, to challenge, and to rebuke kings and princes when they went astray, when they were in the wrong, when they failed God. God raised up the prophets to speak to them, to speak prophetically to them, to rebuke them. God has raised up the church. The church exists to be the conscience of the nation, to not cozy up, and I'll dwell on that tomorrow, not to cozy up to any political party. Yes, we can be supportive of politicians and political parties when their policies are in line with God's truth, but we must maintain a position where we can speak truth to kings, presidents, prime ministers, governors, mayors, and all who are in authority, regardless of which political party they belong to. I'm Eddie Hyatt. So glad that you've joined me today. We're reading from my new book, To Comply or Not to Comply. Should be available very soon on my website, eddiehyatt.com, and on Amazon. And I look forward to being with you again tomorrow for another episode of the Awakening Podcast.